another edition of Fantasy Football Consistency Show. I'm your host, Bob Lung, and thank you again for listening this week as we're in week 8 of Fantasy Football Consistency Show. And we're just excited to be here and excited to be a part of the Asylum Sports Network. If you're not familiar with the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network, it is a weeknight event here on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. Every night we have a different host, a different guest, and a lot of different great stuff going on. Monday night, we have the Sports Rants with Chris Heal. Tuesday night, the Asylum Sports Show with Flieger and Briggs, and if you missed that, I was actually on the Tuesday night show on Wednesday night, which was last night. It's kind of weird, but I was on it. If you missed that one, listen up to that one. We had some great conversation for the first half hour in regarding some fantasy football consistency, and then they continued from there, but they're a great show every week, long-time friends of mine. Wednesday night, Pine Tar Talk with Ben Samuels and Mike Valverde. Thursday night, of course, is my show from 7 to 8 or 9, depending on the night. Friday night, Racing Time, so if you're into racing, whether NASCAR, whatever kind of racing you're into, with Alan and Robin. Saturday night, Dynasty Dudes with Russell Clay and Nathan Powell. Sunday night, the man, the legend, the mad scientist himself, Nick Ficcarelli, is on Sunday nights. And Nick's supposed to be on. I think this might be him. I'm going to click on the button, see if he's here. Nick, is that you?
Yes, it is, sir.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Good, good. Well, folks, I'm honored tonight to have as my guest for a short time tonight. And Nick's got to run quick, but Nick Ficcarelli from the Sunday Night Show, the Mad Scientist here on the Asylum Sports Network. Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, the podcast you do, and some of the items you're involved with, and where people can follow you.
Well, my name is Nick Ficcarelli. I am known as the Mad Scientist of Sports because you never know what is ever going to come out of my brain whenever I'm doing a show or anything with regards to sports. As perfectly stated, my show is every Sunday night right here on the Asylum Sports Network. I can be found on Twitter at @NAF_FSW Sports, and I can be found on Facebook and elsewhere. I'm a serial guest because people like to have me on because I give them a good chuckle, but I also know my stuff. I have to keep it PG. And when it comes to fantasy sports, a lot of people take me for granted. So, what do you call it? I have my own ways and methods of trying to get to the top.
Hey, that's not a problem. Not a problem at all. I mean, I do consistency. Some people do different modes and different methods, and people that nobody is the end all to how to win at fantasy football. Because if any of us was that good, we would actually make some money at this. But we don't. We kind of do it for the fun, and some of us make a little bit on the side, and that's okay because we're doing it for the fun of fantasy football. So, Nick, thank you for coming on tonight. I'm honored to have you on. Tonight, the last 3 weeks heading up tonight, we've been kind of breaking down the rankings of quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. And tonight we're looking at the tight ends. Now, from a consistency standpoint, this probably isn't a surprise, but tight ends aren't very consistent. There's a couple, maybe only one.
Actually, to me, there's three of them. There's three tight ends that you, on a consistent basis, you can pretty much count on giving you points week in, week out. And those tight ends happen to be Jimmy Graham, who, you know, is, you know, when completely on his game, is borderline unstoppable. Ron Gronkowski, who's more to me a big wide receiver, you know, a bigger version of a wide receiver because the guy's got some of the best hands I've ever seen. And you'll be shocked to hear, but my third tight end is Greg Olsen. It seems to me that Greg Olsen continuously puts in consistent numbers week in, week out. They're not sexy, they're not flashy, but he gets the job done, and he is Cam Newton's security blanket. So those are the three tight ends that I would see as a, you know, consistent basis to have on anyone's team when it comes to when it comes to fantasy football.
And it's funny to bring that up because basically when you look at the most consistent tight ends over the past three seasons, Jimmy Graham is first, Believe it or not, Jason Witten is second. Greg Olsen is third, and Gronkowski is fourth. And the only reason Gronkowski is fourth is because he hasn't played as, you know, he missed a lot of games in 2013. He only had five quality games. But no question that those three guys are the top three in my book as well. In fact, in my rankings that you asked me for my top five, it's Gronkowski, Graham, and Olsen are the top three, without question. They're very consistent. Obviously, Gronk and Graham are certainly a tier above Greg Olsen, but if you're looking for a good value, middle rounds, fifth, sixth round, get a tight end. You've already missed out on Gronkowski in the first round, Graham maybe in the second round, which is okay. You can pick up Olsen, and you're really not missing a ton. Olsen last year had 220 fantasy points in a PPR league. That was only 13 behind Graham. Now, granted, it's 46 behind Gronkowski, but again, you're picking him five rounds later. You know, divide that by 16. What are you missing out on? Maybe 2 or 3 points a week. Could be substantial, may not be. But, you know, it's the consistency you're getting out of Olsen.
Here's the other thing, though, with tight ends. You know, once you get past what you consider the big three, big four, big five, all the tight ends will put up pretty much the same numbers. And there are a couple of tight ends that people need to look out for this year coming that I think will surprise as well as, you know, as well as, like, be excellent value in the middle to late rounds. And a couple guys that I have on my radar are Kyle Rudolph from the Minnesota Vikings, Travis Kelce from Kansas City, Zach Ertz from Philadelphia, Tyler Eifert from Cincinnati. Those are the types of guys that you look at and you can say, you know, these, you know, they will be there for you, you know, in those middle rounds. That'll get you 50 to 60 receptions, anywhere between 600 and 800 yards and about 4 to 6 touchdowns, which for a tight end is pretty good. You also have the old war horses.
Okay.
You also have the old war horses in Jason Witten and Antonio Gates, who, you know, you always see those games in which they turn back the clock a little bit, you know, playing like the 25 instead of 35, 36. 36 years old, you know, and what do you call it? And, you know, it's almost as if you have to pick and choose where you want to take your tight end whenever you're in a draft. Because if you don't, what do you call it? A lot of people will be like, if I don't get Gronkowski, if I don't get Graham, it's a throwaway. It's a throwaway. It really isn't.
No.
You could find You could find that one guy that gives you like those solid numbers week in, week out, a la Greg Olsen, a la Kelce, and you'll be very, very surprised in the type of production that they will give you, and B, the amount of points that they give you, and you'll be like, okay, I didn't expect that.
Let me throw out a name that you didn't bring up, who actually ended last season as the number two most consistent tight end percentage-wise, and that was Delanie Walker.
You know,
what do you think of him?
The reason why you look at Delanie Walker, you just look at the team that he played for last year, and, you know, a lot of people threw away a lot of the Tennessee Titans, and I have to admit, I once had Delanie Walker on my team, and I cut him to pick up Kyle Rudolph, like, in the middle of the year, and, you know, he was actually a free agent for most of the season. Someone picked him up towards the end, and you start looking at his numbers, and you were like, wait a minute, he did what? Wait a minute, come again?
He did this? Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is why when it comes to, like, people are like, Delanie Walker, you know, they're like, toss him away or something like that. You have to really delve into the numbers and look at what he does on a consistent, on what you say is a consistent basis.
Right.
What I also look at is, you know, who the quarterback is, what the score of the game was, because there's so many factors that go in. There are so many factors that go into it because, let's face it, last year, Tennessee was a dumpster fire times 10, and they were always behind in games. And they had no running game whatsoever. I don't care if people want to worship at the at the altar of Bishop Sankey or whatever. They had no running game last year. They were going to throw
but
the ball.
But based on that, based on that though, don't you see really nothing changing? I mean, Bishop Sankey's still the running back. They still have the same wide receivers. Now they have a rookie probably playing, we assume, will be playing quarterback. Usually when you have a rookie quarterback, the tight end becomes the safety valve. And I'm kind of leaning towards Walker being just as consistent. And you can get him way after, even guys like Olsen, you can get him in Delanie
don't
Walker in probably the eighth, ninth round.
Okay, don't be surprised if Delanie Walker actually goes where exactly you said, in the middle rounds. He may actually be, and I'm not BSing when I say this, the fifth or sixth tight end taken in any draft, because people are going to see exactly what you said, and they're going to look at the last few games from last year. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if it's going to be like this for the Tennessee Titans this season, especially with Ken Wisenhunt as the, you know, as the head coach, we all know how Ken Wisenhunt did with Heath Miller when he was the offensive coordinator of Pittsburgh. And, you know, although he didn't have that much of a tight end, you know, while I was at Arizona, but, you know, you've got to go back to the Pittsburgh days with Heath Miller and see the production that was there. Delanie Walker can put up that production. And if he does, you know, everybody will get a nice, very, very nice, pleasant surprise when they take him, in the middle round as well.
Well, here's something interesting. And you say you think that they'll get drafted a little bit. He'll be drafted in the middle rounds. I did a draft for Lindy's Sports Magazine, and here's some of the people that were in this: John Hansen, Andy Behrens, Scott Pianowski, Brad Evans. From those three guys are from Yahoo. John Hansen from Fantasy Guru, Sigmund Bloom from Fantasy Football Guys. So well-known names. Delanie Walker went in the 13th round. That surprises me. Now, I had drafted Greg Olsen in the fifth because it was kind of one of those where I wanted to get a consistent tight end. Also was sitting there. I felt that was a good pick. If I'd known Delanie Walker was going to go that late, I probably just would have waited. I'm surprised. Does that shock you?
That's the beauty of a draft. You never know. Hindsight, my friend, is always going to be 20/20 in any NFL, in any fantasy draft. Every year, people will walk out of draft thinking I had the best draft, and then they start studying the board, and they'll be like, wow, this guy went that late. I could have gotten him that late. They start questioning. Well, maybe, did I take the guy that I wanted too early? Did I miss something? Here's one for you. And I'm going back now to like 1998, 1999. That tells you how long I've been doing this crap.
Yeah, I've been doing it since 85, so I'm with you.
So I'm sitting at a draft, and it's about like the 15th, 16th round, and I'm sitting there, and I need a wide receiver, and I'm scouring, and all of a sudden I notice a name in the top 25 that was not crossed out. I'm looking up at the draft board, and I kept looking down at my book, and I kept looking at the draft board, and I'm saying to myself, I look at my partner, and I go, is he dead? Or did he get hurt? And he looks at me, he goes, no. I go, can you look at the board? And he's looking at the board, and we're getting the time, and I actually called clock because I needed the extra 30 seconds. And we both looked, and we looked at each other, and we kept saying, how did this happen? We took Hines Ward in the 16th round.
Wow.
And everybody looked at us like, what? He was taken. And I'm like, where do you see his name on the board? And everybody's like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the year that Hines Ward had his, the year before he had his breakout season, and we got him for
right.
his career season. So,
wow.
Pretty cool.
Nice.
So, but there is that one chance where you can get someone on a consistent basis really, really late because it's the luck of the draft. Mm-hmm. And that's what the beautiful thing about this is. Bob, I don't mean to cut this short, but I unfortunately do have to get going. We'll be back on the show hopefully in the not too distant future. But I want to thank you for allowing me to talk tight ends with you, and good luck to you in your future fantasy football drafts and leagues and everything like that, and talk to you soon, okay?
Well, I sent you a copy of the draft of the book, yes?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, take a look at that. Tell me what you think. Maybe we can talk about that a few weeks from now. We'll get you on for at least a full hour or so. But thank you for coming on tonight, Nick. Again,
no
folks,
problem.
Nick Ficcarelli, thank you again for being a part of this, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy. All right, Nick Ficcarelli from Dynasty Fantasy Warehouse, the mad scientist, has his own show. You can hear it on the Asylum Fantasy Network every Sunday night, and he brings on some great guests. So don't miss out on that. He's on, like I said, every Sunday night. So once again, thank you, Nick, for being a part. I know he had only a short period of time, but some great conversation. Tight ends just are tough. But I think they're so important that you just can't forget them. You still want to have it. You know, am I going to buy into the fact that Rob Gronkowski should be a first-round pick? There's certainly arguments, and I get them, but I still struggle to grab Gronkowski in the first round. I mean, I've even seen him brought up as being the number one pick overall, particularly in a non-PPR league, because there's such a gap between him and the other people. And it's because he scores so many touchdowns. I mean, that's really, when you go non-PPR, you're about yards and touchdowns. He definitely is light years ahead of that. Now, Jimmy Graham, you know, remains as a touchdown machine in Seattle, then it's a little bit closer. But Jimmy Graham's going in the second round. So, as Nick said, there are guys that you can get in the middle rounds, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, depending on your league, depending on the size of your league. But in a traditional 12-team draft, and as I mentioned a little bit from the draft for the Lindy Sports Magazine, I grabbed Greg Olsen in the fifth round. Travis Kelce went at the beginning of the fifth round, which surprised me. I didn't think he'd go ahead of me. But as I mentioned, Gronkowski went fifth overall in the first round. Then Jimmy Graham went, let me see if I can find it. Jimmy Graham actually went in the fourth round. Surprising. So he went in the fourth round. Then, like I said, Kelce went. Then I took Olsen in the fifth. After that, there was quite a gap on tight ends after that. It was basically all the way to the seventh round. Josh Hill went next. So that may surprise some of you. Josh Hill is the Saints' replacement there down in New Orleans. So he takes over for Jimmy Graham. I'm not sure I'm that sold on him being that good. But he was taken in front of Martellus Bennett, and I won't do that. Martellus Bennett is number four on my ranking sheet, after Greg Olsen, before Travis Kelce. He was very consistent last year. He was fifth in total points, 10 out of 16, 63% quality games, 63% QSR, quality success rate. So Martellus Bennett's a very consistent wide receiver, or a tight end. I think he'll continue that. Not much has changed other than Brandon Marshall leaves. Kevin White comes in. That obviously leaves Bennett still as one of the top targets. I like Bennett a lot more before I would take a chance on Josh Hill. After that, again, then Jordan Cameron goes in the eighth round. Zach Ertz in the eighth round. Then we go to the ninth round, and we don't have any tight ends. We go to the 10th round. We got Owen Daniels. And there's another guy that's kind of being forgotten. Let's remember, folks, Owen Daniels is now the starting tight end at Denver. He was with Peyton Manning. I don't know how you can sit there and not think, that's got potential. So, again, another good choice if he's laying out there. So I think, you know, Antonio Gates went in the 11th round, Dwayne Allen in the 11th round, Vernon Davis. I have no love for Vernon Davis. I won't draft him ever. As I mentioned, Delanie Walker is going in the 11th, or went in the 12th round in this draft. I think that's about it on the tight end. So Jason Witten went in the 14th round. So there you go. So there's a lot of decent tight ends out there. You just have to kind of feel it out. I think if you're going to miss out on Gronkowski and Graham, it may be okay if you wait for other guys like that. I think Olsen's still a fifth, sixth round pick. I think Martellus Bennett should be a fifth or sixth round pick. Travis Kelce should be a fifth or sixth round pick. But if you miss those guys or you want to wait, you can get Gates, Delanie Walker, Dwayne Allen, who was 62% last year in quality games. Like I said, Owen Daniels obviously last year didn't have as good a year, but now he's in Denver. So that's a big plus. So there's a lot of potential out there for folks to come in and be a solid tight end. So just keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on the rankings. You know, as we look at each person, like you said, so we know Gronkowski is a stud. If you want to pick him in the first round, that's your call. I'm not sure I'd do it, but I guess I understand it, but I'm still a little bit leery about it. like I said, especially when you can get some good value, you're going to lose a few points per game. But let's say even if you lose 5 points per game times 16 games, I mean, that's 90 points. That's a big gap. But is 5 points what you're losing by every week? Most of the time you're not. I mean, every once in a while you'll lose a few there. But if you make that up by getting good, consistent quality in your first six picks or first seven picks before you get your tight end, then I don't think you're going to have any reason to be concerned about the fact that you missed on Gronkowski. If you do draft Gronkowski, make sure you've got some very solid players. Don't take any chances on a rookie or a potential hype if you're going to do that. You really need to back yourself up with the idea of, can I put a consistent team together with Gronkowski? Gronkowski is very consistent, so you've got solid base right there. The key is, though, is you still have to add two good quality running backs, consistent running backs. Now, there's where you can come in with guys like Andre Ellington, Lamar Miller, Justin Forsett. You need some good, consistent wide receivers. Now, if you're getting Gronk in the first round, you're going to miss out on guys like Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, those kind of folks. In fact, the team that did draft Gronkowski fifth overall came back with A.J. Green, and then got Frank Gore, Andre Ellington, Justin Forsett, and C.J. Spiller. Now, do I recommend drafting four straight running backs? No. He did get Nelson Aguilar, which is a good pick. Brandon LaFell is a good pick. Got Matt Ryan in the 10th round as his quarterback. Is that a solid team? I say yes. A.J. Green needs to come back to full force, but I think that he could have grabbed a really good wide receiver in somebody like T.Y. Hilton or Emmanuel Sanders at that point. Because those guys were available. Andre Johnson was available. I would have obviously grabbed T.Y. Hilton. So if he would have put T.Y. Hilton in there and then got Ellington, Forsett, and Spiller, then Aguilar becomes his number three, then I think that would have been a better draft for him. But overall, not a bad draft from that spot. So again, Gronkowski in the first round, if you can follow that up with some quality, consistent players, I think you can do it. I could do it. I could pull it off. So if you want to pull it off, keep listening here. So about 7 minutes, around 7:30 time, we're going to bring in Jason Collette. Jason is a longtime fantasy expert in the baseball world. Jason is on RotoWire and also on FanGraphs, and he's a pretty smart guy when it comes to baseball. He's going to come on about 7:30 and talk about my fantasy baseball team. If you remember, about a month ago, I had Anthony Aniano on here. And Anthony went through my fantasy team and told me I had a good team, I just needed to wait it out. Well, I have improved, and we're going to talk with Jason about whether or not I have enough horses to get me up into the money in this league. It's a 15-team league, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's go back to tight ends a little bit again. As I mentioned, as I'm going through my rankings at this point, Gronkowski first, Graham second, Olsen third, Martellus Bennett fourth, Travis Kelce fifth. Now, the guys after that may surprise you, but I'm still a big fan of the old guys, and that's where Antonio Gates and Jason Witten come in. Say what you want about these old farts, but both of them last year earned 11 quality games out of 16. That's about 69-70%. That's not bad. I don't see that coming down. I don't see that dropping off drastically. Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates still have a very good relationship, good chemistry on the field. You know, they've added a new running back in Melvin Gordon, but he's still a rookie, and there's still going to be times they need to throw the ball. Keenan Allen needs to pick it up. He had a very down year last year. But when they get close to the end zone, there's nobody that Phillip Rivers likes more than Antonio Gates. And as long as he keeps getting touchdowns, he's going to keep being a top fantasy tight end. I really still have no problem, and probably will in many of my drafts, just wait and grab Gates or Witten near the end. Now, Gates is better in the PPR league because he gets more pass receptions than Gates. Gates gets more touchdowns. So if it's a non-PPR league, I'd probably stay away from Witten a little bit. But in a PPR league, both of them can be very effective. Again, Gates isn't going to get 3 or 4 or 5 catches a game, maybe 50 yards, but he's going to get that touchdown. That's going to earn him 16 points. Basically, if he earns over 10, he's going to earn a quality game. So even that's where Witten comes in to the quality games more. He'll get more of that 4 or 5 catches for 50 yards with no touchdowns, but still earn a quality game, versus Gates, who will get 3 catches, 30 yards, but get the touchdown. So he'll score a little bit more. And that's probably why last year, if you look at the scoring overall, Antonio Gates was 3rd in total points. Jason Witten was 10th in total points. So again, he's earning the consistency. He's just getting over that every week, but still not a bad pick. Number 8, as I mentioned, Delanie Walker. Still, again, he was 11 out of 15 last year. I don't think much has changed with the Titans. So I think Nick said it best when he talked about the coaching philosophy there. Having Wisenhunt there as their coach, he did wonders with Keith Miller. I think he'll do wonders, continue to do wonders, and probably even help Delanie Walker be a good, solid tight end. Owen Daniels going to Denver just gives him value right off the bat. It's a question whether he can stay healthy. Zach Ertz did some good numbers, put up some good numbers last year. 13th in total points, 9 out of 16 in quality games. But if I'm not mistaken, here in 3 out of 4 quality games, the last 4 games, he really started to click with Mark Sanchez. If Sanchez continues to be the starter or not, I think Ertz will continue to benefit. The problem with people in Philadelphia is that they spread the ball around a little bit too much to keep that consistency up. All righty. So as we move on, at number 11, Jordan Cameron. Jordan is a good pick, and we'll have to see what he does in Miami. So, well, it looks like we got Jason on the line, so let's see if we can bring him in here. Jason Collette.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Are you there? There he is.
I'm here.
All right.
I'm here.
He is there. So, folks, at this time, I'm honored to be at, bringing on to tonight's show a very good friend of mine. Known this guy for 2002, Jace, I think, was when we met on rotojunkie.com. We're still out there on rjbullpen.com. Is that the name of it now?
Correct.
And so Jason and I were just two fantasy junkies. Mine was football. His was baseball. And to use a famous quote, and the rest is history, Jason and I both went in our own direction in our sports, and now I've been a writer for about 12 years doing fantasy football and consistency, and Jason is now a writer and has been a writer for a lot of sites, currently on RotoWire and Fangraphs, but he's taken it one step further. He's been interviewed on MLB Network. I haven't made it to TV, Jace, but that's my goal, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, I've only had my picture on MLB TV. I haven't done TV since a local.
Oh, I thought
TV
they interviewed
show.
You, or was that?
Yeah, but,
or was that Paul?
That was Paul.
That was the other Twin Tower. Yes.
Yes.
And that's right. Do you guys still do your podcast?
We do on Sunday nights. Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that, because I'm sure we have baseball fans listening. So tell us about your podcast. And your Twitter and that kind of stuff, so people can get on there and start following you.
Sure. The Sunday night podcast I do with Paul Spohr is Fangraphs, the Sleeper and the Bust podcast. That podcast runs 3 times a week. I am the co-host on Sunday with Paul. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he has Eno Saris, who does it. Eno made his hay in fantasy, and now Eno is a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, does a lot of mostly real baseball writing and excellent baseball writing, as he covers the beat of the Giants and the A's. But he's really done a lot of good stuff lately as teams come rolling through the Bay Area and talking about different things. So you can check out the podcast and Eno's writing over at Fangraphs.
Great. All right. Well, Jason, thank you again for coming on tonight. All right, Jason. So you know a lot about this league, a lot more than most people would, because this is our Roto Junkie league. It's 15 guys. You know most of them by name and probably met most of them in person. Every year I have this struggle where I'm a decent team, but I always float in the middle numbers between 6th and 9th place. If you want to make money, you got to get in the top four. I was really bad at the end of April. I was down in about 12th or 13th place. A friend of mine, Anthony Aniano, who you may know, does baseball, looked at my team, said, "Bob, you got a good team. You need to wait it out." So I said, okay. In the meantime, I did a trade just a week ago where I got Hanley Ramirez and David Freese from JC, and I ended up giving up Chris Davis and somebody that was on my bench. I don't remember who it was. But anyway, basically Chris Davis for those two guys. So I sent you my team from top to bottom: Salvador Perez, Perinsky, and A.J. Perinsky at catcher, Prince Fielder at first, Pedroia at second, Freeze at third, Hanley Ramirez, Justin Turner as my middle infielder, Brandon Belt, Avisail Garcia, Matt Holliday, Juan Lagares, Denard Span, Chris Young, and Jake Marisnik. On the bench is Ian Desmond, because I can't afford to put Ian Desmond up because it puts me over my salary cap. And to be honest with you, he's kind of sucking. I'm really disappointed in him. So we can talk about him. So let's talk about the offense. I mean, you saw my rankings. I'm top four in batting average, but bottom four in all the other offensive categories: stolen bases, RBIs, runs, and home runs. Do I have the beef to move up and start making my team competitive and making my offense competitive?
I mean, as it stands, no, I don't think you do, and here's why. I see,
really?
I look at your lineup,
in a 15-team league?
Yeah, I see too many guys that are towards the bottom of the lineup. When I see a lot of similar players here. I see, Chris Young's got to get out of your lineup. He's like three for his last 160, but he's got to come out. And when I look at your bench, you could move Marisnik to outfield, and you could play Emery. You could play anyone off your bench other than Chris Young, because he may even get extra playing time, but it's going to be, you don't want him playing more.
Right.
I had him in AL, and I cut him because he was killing me. But, you know, when I see a guy like Marisnik, and I see a guy like, Span and Lagares, all three of those guys are essentially interchangeable assets. Marisnik, guess his overall numbers, the stolen bases and everything look good, but a lot of that batting average was early on in the year, and he hasn't had much over the last few weeks. So you need to find some thump. Getting Jaso, Jaso's going to come back in a couple of weeks. That'll help a little bit. But I do like the trade you did. You had to spread some of that power around. So trading Davis and getting Hanley and then Freeze, that's definitely going to help you. But you got to make another type of that deal. Move some of this batting average.
So I need an outfielder or somebody. Right. Okay.
I see too many similar guys out there, and that's why you have batting average, but you're trailing in the other categories because you've either got guys that are down in the lineup or you've got a lot of similar guys, and you need some more thump. And Freeze and Hanley should help that, but Hanley's been kind of cool of it. You got to hope he bounces back. Freeze has been, is hit for power, and not average.
Right.
Fielder's basically carrying you right now in that regard.
Right.
Fielder
hadn't hit any home runs in the month of April. He had like one or two.
Right.
He's hit like 9 or 10 or 8 or 9 in the month of May. So, to be honest with you, Jace, if you see, I'm at 57 home runs, and last place is 54. At the end of April, I was 17 home runs out of last place, in last place. I was that far back. So, just getting out of the basement was an accomplishment in itself. I'm hoping that, you know, some of these guys, but okay, I got that. So I need to make a trade. I need to get an outfield power guy. Let me ask you this then. So should I trade Denard Span for a buck to somebody who's got a big hitter who might be playing for next year? Because he's going to be worth
that's
a keeper value.
That's the kind of thing I would do. When I'm looking at your contracts, I can't tell what the Salvador Perez's contract situation is. But you know,
he's a G15, which means he's a G15, which means at the end of this year he gets thrown back regardless, so he can't be kept.
Okay, so that's someone. You know, it's going to be really tough for you to try to win the league, or you know, but if you can get sneak into the top four, that's a guy that I'd be offering up to the top three teams in the league and trying to get another position that's going to have some more home runs. You package him up with somebody else, and you try to get another out.
And then move in Jaso.
Jaso could be back in a couple of weeks, and there's your spot. But you're carrying two catchers, neither of which have a lot of. I mean, Perez is a good hitter. I just don't see him. I don't see him hitting 10 home runs of the rest of the way. You need home runs and RBIs. He's not going to give it to you. So go trade for somebody who's hurting the catcher and has got an extra outfield, or package somebody, you know, package a pitcher, package somebody off the bench, or offer Span and Perez to the guy. Say, here's a keeper. Here's a guy for this year. What can you give me?
Right. Okay. All right. So that's good advice. Are any of these guys that I have down below, Amarista, Barnes I just picked up, let's talk about Desmond. I kept him because I thought he was just the bee's knees here. I mean, I had people trying to talk me out of him. I'm like, no, Desmond's the number two guy behind Tulowitzki. I mean, you know, he puts up, you know, he has power, he has batting average, he has steals. I mean, he did all of this last year. What the hell's going on with this kid? And is he just forgot how to play like the rest of the Nationals?
It's really
crazy. Somebody forget
to
tell the Nationals they're supposed to win the World Series.
Well, at least they finally got their stuff around. They called up Anthony Rendon off the DL today, so that's going to help them. But you know, his walk rate is never going to improve. He's striking out actually a little less than he did last year. He's just not hitting the ball hard, and that's the problem. People may say, "Oh, you know, that'll come around." But you look at when a guy is having this kind of season, everybody wants to look at the batting average and balls in play. How's he doing? Right. Well, you know, Desmond is one of those crazy consistent players where his batting average and balls in play over the last six seasons has never been lower than .317 and has never been higher than .336. And right now it's .327. So this .246 batting average isn't unlucky. He's just not hitting the ball hard. You look at his isolated power, .133. It's as low as it's been since 2011. When he was coming back off the wrist, if I remember correctly, that's when he had that wrist issue where he played, but it didn't work out for him. And right now, he's just not hitting the ball hard, and that has to change. And so, he's hitting way too much into the ground. His ground ball to fly ball ratio is 1.5. That's not. I mean, if you're going to hit 20 home runs for the fourth straight year, you have to elevate the ball. You can't be throwing the ball into the ground 1.5 times.
Right.
Actually, I take that back. It was 1.5 last year. 1.9 this year. 1.9 is a Denard Span number. That's not what Ian Desmond should be doing.
So is it time to get rid of him? I mean, again, he's not a keeper. He's an X-15, which means he's going back in the pool. Maybe somebody would trade for him in name. I can't even play him because it puts me over the salary cap. So do I?
I would
try
offer him up
him
and try to get what value. Try to get what value that you can for him, because I mean, it's not looking any better for him, especially if he's a keeper.
So you don't see
like
this improving by June, or improving somewhere down the road. Like okay, you know, like you said, you start looking at the numbers that it's just, you know, his X batting average is this, and you know, it's just a matter of time before he starts clicking in. You're not seeing the click.
No, I'm really not. I mean, you look at March was bad. April, you know, he hit for a cup. He had better. He had 12 extra base hits compared to the 8 that he had in April. May's 12. The strikeouts are still good, still there. But I really don't see too much of an improvement with him. But this, I mean, if you're going to shop him, this is what you do. Hey, he hit .278 in the month of May. He drove in 12. He scored 12 times. He drove in 10 runs. I mean, the issue with you is you can't play him because it's going to put you over the cap. So focus on the most recent numbers. Try to get somebody who's cheaper that can help you. with some power, right, and then go from there.
Right. Let's talk about a guy that I don't know a lot about, but he's been doing pretty good for the entire season and hasn't done too bad since I've gotten him. Justin Turner. Is this guy for real? Is this guy going to continue to bat 296?
He's got the plate discipline to pull it off. He doesn't hurt himself. That's the thing. He doesn't hurt himself. Right. I really never saw this coming from him when it started last year, but it's still sticking around.
Okay. Because I kind of picked him up. He was doing okay. I needed him. I just picked him up as like, he's hot for the week, hoping that, see what happens. And now I've got to plug him in at my middle infield because his $5 is, $15 less than Desmond. And, hell, he's playing a lot better. So, I just wondered if he's worth keeping or if it's a fluke and I should try and dump him to somebody as well.
You can do
all right,
that. He's not going to hit for much power either. So that's another guy that you could try to sell where his value is. Because, he hit last year, so people aren't going to be like, he did this last year too. So he's picking up right where he left off. The batting average is dropping a little bit.
Right.
Everybody expected that. But the overall numbers are still worthy.
So who's out there you think that I should try to go for that is having a down season so far power-wise that you think it's a matter of time before he's going to pick it back up? That I should maybe go looking at and try to I got these guys and, this guy hasn't done that well, and what do you think?
Honestly, the first guy that comes to mind is David Ortiz. David Ortiz's numbers are terrible this year. We have seen this before from David Ortiz where he's been terrible, and then he finds it and he heats up and gets going. It may be a little late on this one, but Chris Carter is another guy whose overall numbers still look bad. But Chris Carter, he's on a 11-game hit streak going into today. I didn't see what happened. I know the Astros lost today, but I didn't see what happened. But he's starting to hit again. That's another guy. You're like, but honestly, the easiest guy that comes to mind is David Ortiz. Perhaps if the guy who owns Ortiz in the league, offer him Desmond, see what he says. Because, David Ortiz has not looked good. His slugging percentage is .375. David Ortiz was 450 as a fan.
And the other nice thing is that he would go into utility, which is where my open spot is if I move Young out and Mariznick up. So that works too. Okay.
That's
right.
The place to go.
Right.
Robinson Cano is going to be pricey. It's going to hurt your cap wise, but that's another
guy. Yeah, no, I can't.
He's got
Ortiz can fit under the cap at this point. Now, the nice thing are you thinking he might be available? Or you think that would be a guy to look at?
He's got one home run this season.
Wow.
That's not Ian Kinsler.
Right.
He's a rebound candidate. I'm willing to take a shot on if somebody's willing to move him. Ian Kinsler's been a double-digit home run guy every full season he's played. Now he's got one, and he's played almost every game this season. I'm not buying that.
Yeah, now that is surprising. I was trying to see. Okay, so Chris Carter. I see Chris Carter. I was just looking to see what am I looking for? I'm looking for the U's. Oh, okay. I was trying to see where, what's his name was? Ortiz. Okay, so he's on the Lumberjacks, which is a team that's actually right beside me. And he's struggling offensively as well. There you go. That's why. He has Ortiz. So we'll have to see on that one. Anyway, all right. So let's go to the highlight of my team, my pitching.
Yes, pitching's good.
Basically,
except for Fernando, for your closers.
I traded for Rodney because, one, the guy was trying to dump Rodney. And, I had it made. I had Kimbrel, and I picked up in our reserve draft Adam Ottavino. And I was on cloud nine. Ottavino came out smoking, and I'm like, I've got it. This is going to be perfect. And then out of the blue, he's done. And I'm like, damn.
So
and I have
Giles
all
too.
These
We're
guys.
Still waiting for him to get that job.
Yes. And I have Ken Giles, and I have, I have Tozawa in Boston. I have Keela in Texas, and they didn't give Keela the opportunity. They gave Tolson, so he's – but, his ERA and WHIP is sitting there, and I'm like, I'm waiting for Tolson to crash so, Keela can give a chance. So I've got these potential backup guys. I actually had Farquhar on my team thinking he was going to be the guy if Rodney goes crashing, and they sent him to the minors. So to hell. So anyway, so I've got, yeah, I know Rodney's, you know, but I need saves. So Kimbrell's having a, of course, I finally get Craig Kimbrell on my team and his ERA is 4.5. And he only has 12 saves. So yeah, I know he goes, he went to San Diego, but anyway. So, you know, basically my draft, I kept Scherzer, kept Wacha, kept Ian Kennedy, who hasn't been as good as I was hoping. And actually, it kept Irvin Santana, or no, I drafted Irvin Santana for 9, which I thought was a great deal because he was having a great preseason. That went to shit anyway. Kept John Lester, drafted Liriano. So that was pretty much my draft. And then in the meantime, picked up Dylan G, who actually was doing well and then got hurt. Kennedy is sucked. I had kept him for $4 because I thought, oh, he'll be great.
He should have been.
But I picked up, yeah, he should have been, and he still may be. And then I picked up in free agency Miguel Gonzalez, Aaron Harang, and Vogelsong. This is the first week I've actually started Vogelsong. But Gonzalez and
Harang. Shame, he's been
Harang,
pretty well, too.
Yeah, I keep waiting for the world to end. But do I need to trade one of these guys as part of these packages? You know, I mean, Scherzer, I mean, is Liriano pitching out of his head? Is this going to continue? Lester has been okay.
My thing is, obviously you can't bank on Harang and Vogelsong continuing this. And Gonzalez, the problem is, you know, I like owning the guy. I have him in two leagues, but he's untradeable. You either have him or you cut him. Nobody wants to trade for him because he doesn't do anything for you. And as far as like name value, you look at him. If I were to tell you, hey, I'm going to offer you a pitcher with a 3.5 ERA, a 110 whip, and 5 wins and 60 strikeouts, oh, sure, sign me up. Who is he? Miguel Gonzalez. Never mind. It's just, he's like the guy that never gets. He's the guy that never gets traded, but he gets dropped and picked up, That's be able to trade him. That's a good. It's a good price, and he's consistent. He's not sexy, but he's consistent. I mean, Harang, everybody thinks that ball that balloon's going to drop. And with Vogelsong, he's pitching better of late. I'm just looking at it because, you know, with pitching, you're doing so well in pitching, it's really tough to go out there and trade a Liriano or a Scherzer or a Wacha. You need that. If anything, maybe Wacha's the guy because, again, he's a 15 dude, so you're going to have to throw him back if I read this correctly.
Right.
Wacha's the guy that might be out there trading right now.
Okay. I mean, he has no value to next year, but, you know, certainly could keep somebody under the cap. If I needed to do that, and he doesn't get a ton of strikeouts, he only has 42. So you know, from that standpoint,
so if you
what do you think about Dylan G coming back?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
No, I was just gonna say if you look at the pitching with the second and third place team, they got 43.5 points, and you have you're leading the league with your pitching at 56 or second place at 56 points.
Second place at 56.
Yeah, those two teams, the second and third
place. They need the pitching.
They need pitching, and you have and they have offense, and you don't.
Well, the number three team is Frey, so we'll go after him. Or number two is Hackers.
Lane Death Hackers, which is Dell, right?
Yep.
Okay, there you go.
So he likes old people. I probably could trade him a ring. All right, so closer-wise, do I just stay where I'm at? I mean, I've heard or I read, you know, they gave Rodney the vote of confidence. I mean, I'm just praying for the day that Giles gets to be the closer and I don't have to worry about Rodney. But, just, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, my ERA.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, my ERA and whip are so strong. I mean, I'm first in whip and third in ERA. I don't even care. I just want his saves. I don't care if he gives up a run every damn game. Just give me a save. You know, come in at 4-1, give up
a
run, and give me a save, and that's all I need.
That's all you can ask for. Right, in a 15-team league, you can't be picky with closers. If everybody's going to have at least one, some are going to have two. You have two with the potential of a third one here once the Phillies trade Papelbon, and that's going to happen sometime in the next 6 weeks. They're not going to sit on him all year. If they do, Amaro Jr. deserves to be fired. But you got to get rid of him, so you'll have another option. You'll have another option there with that. So you really
let
can't
me ask
be
you,
picky with the saves. You just take the saves.
Right. Should I try to trade Ottavino on the idea of that he'll be the closer next year to somebody?
He's only going to be a throw-in. I mean, because a lot of when you look at these relievers, it's never it's never a guarantee that these guys are going to come back full. So for me, he's a guy you toss into a deal to get something done. He's not going to. If you try to float him out there by himself, it's not going to work.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm scrolling up on my screen to look at let's look at Hackers here. So we got to think trade here. So Court Street Shuffle, they have he actually has Cano. That's funny. His overall team, I don't even know how in the heck he's even – how's he in the top seven? Okay, so he's got Posey. He's got Cano. Oh, that is Adrian Gonzalez. That's key.
That'll help.
Pedro Alvarez, who I had last year, he sucked. This year, of course, now he knows how to hit home runs. Last year he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So he's got nine. I mean, he doesn't have that many real power hitters. I'm assuming he must be doing it with something else.
Traded somebody that built the power.
It's possible. I mean, his starting lineup, like I said, is Brayan Pena, a catcher, Posey, Adrian Gonzalez, Cano, Pedro Alvarez, Castro, Joe Panic, Kyle Seager, Aoki, Charlie Blackman, DeJesus, Brock Holt, Mark Reynolds, and Hosner. I don't think he's going to trade Hosner. He doesn't have anything on his bench. So is there anybody there worth trading for, as we talked about? Other than Gonzalez, but he's $30, and he's not going to fit. And I doubt if he's going to trade him anyway, because that would be all of his power. Cano's 35, so I don't want him. Pedro Alvarez at 18.
You need power.
I can afford him.
You need power.
Okay, so that's a possibility, because he could then go into, again, utility. So that has some, and like you said, he needs pitching. I mean, he's about 45. So potential there, maybe go after Alvarez. He even asked me about some pitching the other day. So let's look at Hacko's team. He's got Brian McCann, Kurt Suzuki, Miguel Cabrera, but he's $43. Doubt if he'll trade him. Colton Wong, Moustakas, Tulowitzki, but he's $40. So I can't afford him. Wilmer Flores, who has 8 home runs for some reason. Ryan Braun, but he's a keeper for next year at only $10, so he ain't going to trade him. Kendry Morales, Brett Gardner, Jason Hayward, Aaron Hicks, Justin Upton, who's $30, Mitch Moreland. Anybody there? Hayward? Hayward's 26.
I like Moreland.
Okay. He's only $1. So he might, it may be a decent. He's only got 5 home runs. You think he can pick that up?
He's been hurt. That's been part of the issue. He's been out for some. He's missed some time. But I like Moreland, and then they had Josh Hamilton just hit the disabled list. Even though he just came back, he's going to be on the disabled list for a month with a.
Yeah, I saw that.
I almost traded for him.
I really tried to get him from one of the teams in our league. And I'm so glad I didn't. I was really begging him. Like, come on, man, I really need Hamilton. Come on, trade him to me, And he's like, no, he's worth too much.
And he's gone.
And he's gone.
And he's out. When I'm looking at Moreland over, since the middle of May, he's had a hit in all but 3 games. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4 home runs during that time. So he's hitting well with what he's doing, and he's going to get playing time. He's had the playing time, but he's going to continue to get it because Hamilton's out now. So that's a guy what I think would be a really good target for you.
Okay. What about Kendry Morales? He's only $10. He's got 6 home runs. Can he hit 25?
No. He could drive in a ton because the Royals keep getting on base a bunch in front of him.
Right. I mean, he's got 38 RBIs and 30 runs. I can certainly use the RBIs as well. I mean, he can go in Justin Turner's spot, who's only got 20 RBIs. So so I wrote him down. I mean, Moreland's only $1. So that's got some potential. He's got David Wright on his bench, but he's on the DL. Any thoughts that he might come back?
No.
Is he done? Okay.
I think he's done for the year.
Okay. All righty. Like I said, he needs pitching. He's got two. Well, he's got Papelbon at closer, so maybe part of my deal would be I'll throw in Ken Giles so that if I need to. But I mean, I don't think I should have to give too much to get Moreland, should I?
No,
you
should.
I think just him for a solid pitcher like a Miguel Gonzalez.
Right, that's actually fair, that should get it done. Miguel Gonzalez for Moreland should be more than enough.
Okay. That would be fair. I might even see if I can get Morales too, but that might be too much from him. So we'll see. Or like you said, I trade off somebody like Wacha and get both. Fair? Too much.
To get both, who are you wanting out of this again?
Get Kendry Morales and Mitch Moreland from him for Wacha?
He may. Worst he could say is no.
Yeah, no, I know. The only problem with Dell is he's a little bit. Yeah, the only problem with Dell is that he's a little. Yeah, he's a little slow in responding. Keith, I can jump on pretty quick because he's usually on Gmail and I can just pretty much instant message him. And but really, like you said, I mean, all he's really got is Alvarez, which is okay for 18. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, you didn't really see much that excited you. Other than Hosmer, but I don't think he's going to trade me Hosmer. I can try. I guess, again, hit him with give me Pedro Alvarez and Hosmer, and I'll give you Wacha and somebody. Maybe I'll give him Wacha and Justin Turner or Ian Desmond. There you go. He might buy into that. We'll see. All right. Well, Jace, I as always, appreciate your help. And, it's always good to talk a little baseball, even though we talk football most of the time on here. But as we close out, why don't you tell everybody where you're writing, how they can follow you on Twitter, all that kind of happy stuff. And we already talked about your podcast, so just give us where you can be followed.
The Twitter handle is Jason Collette, all one word, two L's, two T's, E at the end. And the writing, I get published on over the weekend at RotoWire as a column called been a regular weekly column now for the last 4.5 years. So that goes on over the weekend. Most recent article was on Steven Souza Jr. and how crappy he has looked of late, and that wrote that article on Friday, and then he's gone on a home run binge since and can't stop hitting home runs. So
tell me who you're going to write about your players.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, tell me to write about one of your players. Let me know. I can take care of you guys.
Yeah. Let's see who we got here. You can write about. How about writing about Avisail Garcia? He's batting .309,
man.
But I thought this guy was going to hit 25 home runs.
So did I.
Okay.
So did I.
Go
ahead. I had a request about Dustin. Somebody wants me to write about Dustin Ackley. I'm like, that's not sexy, but I may do it. But yeah, Souza has hit 4 home runs in his last 6 games since I wrote about him.
Okay, well, write your next article about Garcia and why he's not hitting home runs so that he'll read it and get pissed off and start hitting home runs for me because I need him. Because I only had him for $3.
Wow.
So, all right, Jason, thanks again for being on. I appreciate you. Great talk with you, and maybe we'll have you on again a little bit later this summer. You can analyze my team at the end of June, and we can see if I've done any better or if I've made any improvements. So, again, thank you, Jason, for being on. Everybody else, thank you again for listening to the Fantasy Football Consistency Show. I'll be on again next Thursday at 7 o'clock, and we'll see you then. Thanks, Jason. Good night.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. See you, buddy.
See you, man.
See you.